Well, hello there, and thank you for tuning in to the Shameless Sex Podcast. I'm Amy, sex educator, somatic sex and relationship coach, and sex shop owner.
And I'm April, VP of an international high-end pleasure product company and boss queen sex toy mogul. We're best friends who make our own rules about who we are as sexual beings.
With everything from how to be a badass in the bedroom, to pussy praising, to top tips for bringing your relationship to the next level, we have something just for you.
So sit back, relax,
and enjoy the show.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.
Our topic today is sex toys and lube.
And lube, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get deeper into this because we have a lot of specific inspiration around this topic. But before we do that, how about a little sex life update?
Oh, sex life update.
Ooh, personal
news. Northeast, west, south news.
Yeah, okay. What's new with you?
So what's new with me in the sex life?
So you're single.
I'm single.
Oh, still single.
Still single. Going on almost, it's been over a year since my divorce was initiated. It's not quite final yet. I'm just waiting on the decree from the judge.
Forever.
I know. Apparently it's really 20 minutes to get married and about 6 years to get a divorce. Oh. So I'm still single. I've been hanging out with, I've got two guys on the horizon right now. Even in this dating world that I'm discovering, I set my boundaries and I'm clear about what I expect out of the situation, and it's done nothing but give me good results. Like the moment I stop getting clear with the other people and I'm kind of like, you know, letting either my emotions set in or letting kind of like the situation get the better of me, like the game of dating get the better of me, where I'm like, oh, I have all of these things. Why isn't he calling? Why isn't he texting? What's happening? Why haven't I seen him in a week? You know, I stopped and I just said, hey, I need you to show up this way for me. Mm. And basically being clear and just being like, look, I don't want to date you. I'm having fun. If you don't want me to call you a fuck buddy because you're not comfortable with that, I understand. We can be friends with benefits or we can be no labels.
Yeah.
But the moment I got clear on that, which was a couple weeks ago with him, the I just told him to step up was the moment that things got better. And
some part of that clear is you getting clear with yourself first, checking into yourself, getting clear on what you want, and then being completely transparent about that and not giving into the fear of hurting someone's feelings. And there's ways that we can word things, of course. We're not like, you need to fucking step it up.
No.
But really, like that empowered language of, this is where I'm at. Like, this is me. You know, I'm a strong, empowered woman who's figured out what I want. And right now, I don't want to be in a relationship, but I really value you. I really like our connection.
Exactly.
I want to spend time with you, but I cannot commit to you. And I don't know when I will, but maybe in July. But definitely not right now.
So that's – and I did take advice from you. And of course, I put my own spin on it, but I did use that empowered language to be like, hi, this is what I need talking about. And he said, and he keeps going back to that. You make me feel. And I said, no, actually you're responsible for your feelings. Mm. And as individuals, we're entitled to two separate viewpoints. Help me understand how you feel or why what I said you believe makes you feel that way. Mm. And that's been really helpful as well. Like the whole, like every time I check in when he says, you're making me feel this way. I said, no, actually you're responsible for your feelings. Mm-hmm. You were always obviously like, unless I'm like physically assaulting you, you know, that's, you're always responsible for how you feel. And that's something in, you can take in the workplace. If somebody offends you, you can be like, wait, I am responsible for those feelings. What triggered that? Mm-hmm. And kind of like look into the deeper perspective. But, you know, in the end about the dating, my news and dating, I think that
in summary,
yeah. Always be clear when you're in these situations. And if you have more than one revolving door, tier one,
multiple tier ones,
then
maybe one tier one, tier
just three. Be clear. And I think communication, and if you do it purposefully and you're actually like, thinking about it, it's well thought out before you go into it. And you're just like, hey, I want to bring something up to you. This is what I need. And not like you're doing this to me, but like, this is what I need. I think that the results are really like, they can be really beneficial, both mutually beneficial. Cause it always should, again, the win-win. I always talk about the win-win, but it should be, no one should feel like they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
You're both having sex. You're both having fun. You're dating. You're going out to nice dinners. Have fun. It's win-win. Yeah. Just communicate.
Or you're cooking at home and you're saving a dollar.
Or you're cooking at home. Yeah. Either way. They're going to Disneyland.
Whatever floats your boat.
So tell me about your dating situation. Beep, 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 beep. News.
That's the sound of the dating 411. So I was thinking about this the other day. I've been since 2017 has been the year of dating men in their 40s. And yeah,
I have not had a 40 plus yet. I'm on 38, my oldest. Yeah. I've been on a young train, the YT, the young train.
The YD.
Yeah,
that was my old train. I remember when I used to do that when you were married and you were like, why are you on the YD, girl?
I was like, whoa, how old is he? 23?
Tables have turned.
Does he have any pubic hair yet?
Yes. This is what I've been finding. Dating men in their 40s, they just really want to get to know me. And I don't know if they're, most of them are coming from a place of like, oh, wow, there's something unique here. So maybe that's it. They want to take things slow so they don't mess things up or whatever it is. And they're just not trying to get right in my pants, which is interesting and refreshing.
There's something to be said about, in my opinion, purely about men that actually don't want to just go straight for it. I think there's a level of maturity involved, though, for sure.
Hello, 40s.
Right. But I feel like I'm like a teenage boy. I'm like, what? We're not going to bang it out? Like, what's going on? I mean, that's why I need the 20-something. Because I don't know, but I am interested in an OD as well.
I want
somebody that has an AARP card.
We decided that 40s definitely is not an OD.
No.
AARP is what? AARP is a 55 and up.
55 and up is when you get your AARP card.
I haven't hit one of those yet.
No, I'm planning to, but...
So that's feeling really good. It's really feeling really good to hang out with. And this is the other thing I'm seeing about these men in their 40s is there aren't games. And this most recent person I'm spending time with, kind of along the lines of what you're talking about being transparent, there's like complete transparency, including like the vulnerability. We locked into a conversation in the middle of kind of like a loungy place. There was a whole bunch of other people there. You know, we were drinking a cocktail or two and about childhood wounding right away. And no fear in going
into
that.
When you first met him.
Met him on a blind double date, and then we went to this other place. And we just locked in for like an hour in this place where there's all these other people around. And he's just not afraid to go into the space of like, I have wounds and I have cracks.
Maturity.
And like, this is the work that I've done. And there isn't this shame, which is kind of like the premise of this whole podcast, right? Shame about not being perfect and not being born knowing everything and being able to show all of our cracks and all of our softness and all of our weakness and all of our strength, you know, all the things, April, all the things.
That's my favorite hashtag, all the things.
And it's just refreshing to be around. And he's done a lot of work, you know, so if you're not one of those people, you know, even if you're 40, 50, 30, 20, whatever, and it's hard for you to go into that place, it's a matter of doing the work.
And doing work is like being conscious about like, basically about who you are and like kind of going in and I call it self-development.
Self-development.
Some people call it like self-help, but I think of self-help a little bit like crying in like the books, like
the
that
section.
Yeah.
Like, self-tear.
I think of self-development, like you're charging up, you're getting to know who you are. So that's amazing. And that can come with age, but also there's people that are 20-something that are developed in their
definitely. And I also know people who are in their 40s and 50s who have no way to tap into their vulnerability. And so it's a matter of like first admitting that there's room to grow and become a better or human or a more open-minded human or more whatever, like whole human or whatever, however you want to look at it. We're all whole, but like we have our stuff. And to admit that we have stuff and then go and do the work to work on the stuff, whether it's therapy, whether it's reading books, talking to people, going to retreats or whatever that looks like. And I'm infatuated with those people, by the way, that if I'm having a conversation with someone or flirting and the minute they say they go into childhood wounding or they talk about how they've done a lot of work or they have a therapist or they go to like medicine retroots or whatever.
That's like,
yes,
Amy's
I must know more about
you.
Rose petals
laying on the bed.
Yeah. So that if you want to,
don't draw her a bubble bath. Just go straight into childhood wounding.
Yeah. There you go. And then like, panties wet.
Yes. Yes.
Most people, that's not their jam, but apparently that's my jam.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. That shows a lot about your character and who you are as a wonderful human.
Oh, I think the other thing is like when you're doing the work, you want to, it's just, you see the value in it and you just want to see other people do the work too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what gets my panties wet. Let me just try to think about
dominance.
Yeah.
Handcuffs.
Yes.
Daddy little girl complex.
Oh, snap. Maybe.
Oh, no. I know what it is.
Oh.
Um, what is it? Come in my pussy. Yeah,
fill this pussy up with cum. That's my favorite.
That's another podcast we're actually going to do, although it might be before this. We'll see. We'll see what we air first, but it might go into a little bit of a dirty talk.
Dirty talk.
Another topic.
So fun.
So maybe we should go into our actual topic.
Yes.
We can talk about dating forever as the single women, but sex toys. So yes, you do need sex toys.
Listen, and I have lube. To share a quick story about sex toys and me. Amy was the first person that ever introduced me to a sex toy. I think I was like 25 or 26 years old. And she gave me this external sex toy called the Leia Spot from Fun Factory. It's like this German-based sex toy company that I actually used to work with. I was the director of sales for the company later on in life after, which was like so serendipitous. But I was over in my mid-20s and I'd been in a long-term relationship. And so Amy totally popped my sex toy cherry. And literally after I started using the sex toys, literally, it changed my entire life. Like, I've been an avid, well, just like a side note, and if you know me, I'm totally comfortable talking about masturbation, but I was masturbating since the age of 6. Like, I had this bear that I used to get down on when I was like 6 years old.
What were you doing? Just grinding it? Like the nose?
Yeah, I was humping
the nose
it.
Just, clit.
Yeah, but it wasn't a hard nose. It was a soft nose.
Oh, she likes
it. It was a girl bear too in a dress.
Oh, that's cute.
gender non-conforming with the bear. but I've always been an avid masturbator, but it took me, you know, from the age I started, like 20 years, I guess, to like get a vibrator. But my total orgasm situation changed. And I was like, the first thing I thought was like, wow, why didn't I get one of these when I was like 18, as soon as I could, even before. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think that sex toys should be limited to just 18 plus, but that's a personal opinion because kids are having sex at 12 and 13 these days. I mean, and
but pleasure
talking
is sin,
about it.
April, it's a sin.
Oh, please. We got to just use condoms, you know, just like be safe. But like, anyway, sex toys changed my life. That's just a story that I wanted to share because, and also thanks to you, Amy.
Ooh, yeah. April was our very first employee at Pure Pleasure, purepleasureshop.com. and she worked her way up, and yep, all of that is very true. And we kind of got our start at the same time in the sex toy industry. And we see a lot of that working in that store and also working on the other side of the industry where we're actually working with retail stores and the manufacturing side. We see a lot of very interesting shaming around sex
toys. Oh my gosh, totally. When I worked at Fun Factory, I'd be in Germany and we would be talking about new like product development. And I would share stories like, you know, the toy doesn't necessarily hit my clitoris like it's supposed to, right? And I was like, how many other people have had that experience? You know, and this is a big board of
crickets.
like a table of like, you know, 12 people and no one raised their hand. I said, how many people have actually used this sex toy
that we're all working
nobody
on.
Nobody would raise their hand. And I'm like, how many people have ever used a sex toy in general? And like, literally most of the people working at a sex toy company had never even used the toys.
Or they were ashamed of just talking about it. Like,
well,
maybe they had.
They're
like,
Germans too, so sometimes they get like
Germans
shyer.
They're kind of confusing, the Germans.
Yeah, you just can't read them either.
What? Germans? Well, and then the customers that we would see too, this was like a regular conversation at Pure Pleasure, was couples coming in to the store or even singles, you know, men coming in looking for it. Now I'm going to actually talk about straight people right now. This is very straight oriented. Hetero oriented. People coming in and men looking around and looking at the sex toys like, well, my woman doesn't need that. Or
totally. Or
women looking around and being like, I don't know if I can get that. My man might be threatened by it. And there is this idea that the body should be enough. The cock should be enough. The pussy should be enough. Like, they should be able to handle everything and that there isn't room for more. And it's kind of sad that we can't look at it as like, it's like an added bonus. Like, why not make things even more spicy and exciting?
It's so, in my opinion, and granted, I know that, you know, both of us are empowered women, but in my 20s, I wasn't. It did change my sex life though with my ex-boyfriend. When I began, I just kind of brought it up to him. I said, look, I want to try this toy with you because obviously at that time in my life, in my mid-20s, when I was dating him for like 6 years, it was few and far between that I would have an orgasm during sex with him. It was very like, you know, typical kind of
missionary,
occasional doggy style.
Was it like rabbit sex, like jackrabbit?
Kind of. I actually don't even remember the sex that well, like detail wise, but I do remember incorporating the sex toy into it and bringing it up in like this really like nice way. Like, hey, and not saying like you haven't given me an orgasm
your
in some
cock
time.
Isn't doing its job.
Right. I was just like, can we try this? And so, and he was, I brought it up in such a nice way that he was like, yeah, if that's what you want to do, sure. And I think that the stigma with a lot of men, and even like a guy that I'm currently having sex with, like, you know, we talk dirty and stuff, but he'll be like, yeah, you don't need that sex toy, do you? Do you? Yeah. And I'm
like, fuck that sex toy.
I know. I was like, whoa, don't talk bad about my sex toys.
Yeah, girl, you know what I do?
So I do want to give a shout out though to like the enhancing qualities
like
of sex toys.
It's a bonus.
It's a bonus.
Yeah. And then I guess one of the fears is there's like the idea that we're going to acclimate to the sex toy or habituate to it. And that once we, especially with vibrators, right? Like we did, it's true that vibrators are really powerful. And when we use a vibrator on our clit and it gives us an orgasm within 1 minute, 30 seconds or whatever it is, like a magic wand or something along those lines, then all of a sudden when we use our fingers, that might take longer. But that's the brain functioning. So Let's get clear, people.
The
biggest sex organ in your body is your brain. It's not your genitals.
And it's an urban legend because I thought this is maybe where you were going, but maybe we're going to get there. Yeah. But yes, the brain is obviously in charge of so many things.
It's its interpretation of what's happening. It's not the actual, like the body, the clit doesn't change. You put the vibrator in there and all of a sudden it takes 30 seconds to get off to that vibrator and the clit has transformed. It's the brain being like, oh, that only takes 30 seconds. And now the finger's taking a lot longer. I want the vibrator. Right. And now I'm not patient.
Well, people also think that vibrators, and this is like seriously an urban legend, vibrators will not destroy the nerves in your clitoris.
In fact, they cause more blood flow. They bring more blood to the area.
So your vulva is the outside, right? That's like what we call the labia, the clitoris. That's your vulva. The inside's the vagina. But people, a lot of times, many folks, including myself, love like external stimulation on the vulva. Your vulva is not going to get damaged from using a vibrator. It's totally, it's completely, that's what I hear a lot from people. They're like, even people in the industry have said that to me. Customers of mine, they'll be like, I don't want to use a vibrator because I'm like, can I send you a toy? And they're like, I don't want to use it. I don't want to get desensitized. I'm like, girl.
Desensitize is really the wrong word for it. Like what could happen is, as I was saying, the brain is like, well, this thing takes 30 seconds and now my fingers or this cock or whatever it is taking longer. I'm not having that 30 second orgasm. And then we're really impatient people. And so we resort back to the sex toy, which is totally fine because orgasms are orgasms. Like, why are we complaining? People are having pleasure. Stop complaining how it happens.
And it should be. It should be like however you can get off, feel good about it. If you are any consensual sex,
all
is
consensual sex is good.
Great sex.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if you're someone who has habituated to the vibrator, where it feels like your brain has said, like, I don't want to wait for to get off for you, however long it takes with fingers or a cock or a dildo or whatever you're playing with. You can unlearn that or retrain yourself, and it just takes patience. And so you start to masturbate with the lower setting of the vibrator, and you might not come right away, or you might not come that day.
Or just use the hand.
Or you start using the hand, and you might not come right away or that day either, but you keep doing that, and then your brain will rehabituate. So it's not a permanent thing. It's not changing your anatomy. It's not breaking anyone. It's enhancing things. And if you get to a point where your brain has got stuck on it, you can, it's easy to undo.
Or you can do what I do. Cause I have I'm pretty much addicted to my magic wand. It's used to be made by Hitachi, but it's like this literally back massager. But so when I'm home, I use that as like my special treat. I call it the Xanax for my vagina, my vulva.
Good one. You should tell the Vibratex people that.
I should. Vibratex makes it. But what I do, so because I love sex toys so much and I have zero shame about using sex toys and
zero
using them
bucks
with any of the dudes I'm hooking up with, I have these little bullets. Actually, Fun Factory makes them that I used to – like I got a bunch of them when I worked there. They're little bullet vibes. So they're like tiny. They have like 5 speeds and they're waterproof and they're super powerful. I'll bust that out during playtime and the – number one, usually the guys involved are like, whoa, didn't expect that. But then they also get into it because I don't even ask them. I'm like, hey, can I use this with you, babe?
Can I have permission?
I'm like, hey, this is what I need for me. So have at it. Like, I'm just going to go for this. So you can just get like 5 bullets, 1 for every purse. Boom. You're set. Yeah, whatever you're doing.
Pockets and purse.
Or pockets.
One in your sock.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah, I have one in every, all my purses. I'm just speaking from – I'm like, oh, here's a bullet.
Every drawer. Always prepared. You know, and I find in the dating world when when I've whipped out a vibrator, like most of the people that I've, or not even just dating people that I'm actually like in relationships with or whatever it is, they're kind of excited about it. They're like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, that's hot. I want to watch you use that on yourself and have mind-blowing orgasms. And there's the occasional person that brings in the shaming factor because they have their own stuff with their masculinity, that they have this idea that their cock is supposed to provide all of the fun. And yeah, cocks can provide a lot of fun. And here's just an added bonus to spice things up.
Well, I think that if, you know, you're sitting listening to this podcast and perhaps you own a vibrator or perhaps you don't, I would recommend just starting to think about it in a way that you're like, that could be really fun. Mm-hmm. And then get something that's good for external use, that's maybe smaller, so you don't have to commit to this big, like, rabbit-looking vibrator that, you know, is maybe it starts small and then go big.
Yeah. Unless later, you know your new G-spot stuff, you know, right. If you know that you like your G-spot kind of worked or maneuvered, then you want an internal vibe. But yeah, right. I mean, if you're new to vibrators.
We can get into the classification of that. Well, I was just going to also mention, like, just think about it. If you never have had a vibe, start small. And then I'd say just introduce it. If you're in a committed relationship, a monogamous relationship, and maybe you've never talked to your partner about it, just casually bring it up. Like, hey, I really want to just try this. Can we just try it to see what happens? And if you're in a non-committed or, you know, open thing, or you're dating, like, put a bullet in your bag and or your pocket and bring it, bust it out and see what happens. Just try it out. Like, what's the worst that could happen? You just have an orgasm?
Yeah, or you can go on a date with the person to the sex shop and pick a toy together.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Go in there and then just have them, like, so which one do you think we should use? And just gauge their interest. Ooh, sexy.
That is so fun. And it's fun to see their reaction and you know, people's level of comfortability from like anal plugs to.
Well, it would also be a good way if it's a newer relationship or a newer dating circumstance to figure out how open is this person? Like, are they equally as open? And maybe you're not open. Maybe you don't even want to go into a sex shop. But maybe you would think of yourself as an open-minded person, suggesting that maybe like, the fourth date. Like, let's go check out this sex shop. Let's go and walk into Pure Pleasure and see what they have and check out their reaction.
Well, sex toys have come such a long way from like the 50s when like the first,
they were huge
metal, crazy looking devices. They looked like medical devices.
They looked like something that you're going to use to like cut wood. Like they were like a huge saw or something.
And now there's high end. So I work for a male vibrator company, as you know, called Hot Octopus, and we specialize in toys for a penis, basically. We're stemming into vulva vibrating toys soon, like in the next few months. We're going to have toys for female bodies. But the cool thing is that we, like Hot Octopus, makes these products that are designed to fit over the penis, stimulate the frenulum using this pulse plate technology that actually, if you have like your partner, you want to use it with a partner, like you have like a hetero situation happening and you want to use it like put the device on the penis, it stimulates the frenulum, which is like the head of the penis. If you look at the penis, there's on the tip, it looks like almost like an acorn.
It's like the webbing. The whole head it looks like it's the webbing. Kind of like under your tongue.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the frenulum portion. As well. Yeah. That's what, so people can have an ejaculation with this technology, but it's also fun to incorporate it. Like I've incorporated it into some experiences and because typically you think about a vibrator and you think about it for a female body. Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time.
Clit, yeah.
But also incorporating if you are, you know, into dating things with penises, things.
Humans
with penises. you could use a toy for him instead of just thinking about a toy for you. That's also an interesting way to maximize sex toys in a hetero situation.
There's so many options out
there.
Yeah.
There's so many high-end options. That's where I was going with it.
Yeah.
Nowadays, how beautiful are the vibrators looking?
Some of them are work with a Bluetooth. Like you can vibrate someone from China.
Apps.
Yeah. There's all kinds of crazy, crazy things. So So what are your your top three favorite sex toys? We got Hot Octopus, the Pulse Solo and Duo.
Check it out. That's my company. They're amazing. They're from London, baby. London. Soggy, soggy London.
Sold on London.
amazing, amazing company. And it's ethical. There's also all these ethics involved in sex toys, which I do want to talk about at some point. But favorites first to not get ADD on you. So definitely Hot Octopus. The previous company I used to work for, well, it's still called Fun Factory. They've been around for 20 years. They're really leading in innovation. Amazing German company, great business ethics. They make a ton of different toys. From them specifically, Fun Factory, the Miss B. It looks like Miss Bi, but it's M-I-S-S space B-I. Such a great toy.
I've seen that toy. It's
two
amazing.
Motors. Yeah. It has like 69 functions.
Well, that one of the great things is it has that duo thing going on. So you can do the internal stimulation for the vagina and the G-spot. Then you have the clitoral stimulator, and then it's rechargeable, it's waterproof, and it's bendable, so you can form fit it to your body because we're all so different.
Totally. And one time I was in Arizona and hooking up with this polyamorous older couple.
This one time in Arizona.
And I had sent them, I'd met them at an airport like months before, and I had sent them a Miss B, and then they like busted it out and like wanted.
When you were hooking up. Yeah.
Well, I didn't hook up with him. I just was hooking up with her, but they busted those out. And it was really funny because I was like, wow, this is like an ad for Fun Factory, because they had two, because they went and bought one. They thought it was broken.
Oh.
So it bought one. So the guy came out. The lock was on. Yeah, the lock was on. So he bought another one, because they were like really like, you know, they were in their, you know, 50s, 60s. But so I guess that does count as. But
there you go.
I didn't hook up with him though. Just 50s, her.
60s. Maybe she's an OV.
Yeah, maybe.
Old badge.
But he came out like with, because there's a handle on the product. I'm so sorry. I wanted to tell his stories to somebody at some point. Now I'm going to tell all of it.
Everyone.
So he comes out with, and there's little, like the handle has a loop, so just for easy holding. And he came out like holstering like a gun. Like,
oh, because he had one in each hand.
One in each hand. Awesome. Like, yeah, lady.
I'm gonna shoot you.
So the Miss B. Anyway,
Miss
B. Fond memories.
Yeah, Miss B's. And fun fact about April is that she sends care packages to everyone that she hooks up with,
even when they're
overseas in places like Australia and Chile.
I do. I will.
This is a sex toy for you and your future endeavors.
I just travel all over the world and I'm like, here, like, enhance your experience later.
Well, and part of that is comfortable toys. Yeah, exactly. Ridding the shame. Like, there's no shame in
100%.
This. Like, thank you for the good times. And here you go. Yeah. Now go and share this with the world and help
share
to,
this with your next experience or partner. So,
add a bonus.
I think so. Okay. So we talked about Hot Octopus products, which are amazing. We talked about Fun Factory, Miss B.
And then you also love the magic wand. You said
That is my go-to magic wand, because
guaranteed
it's just
orgasm.
Always. It's so powerful and so easy. And then I do love my bullet from Fun Factory, but WeVibe also makes a really good bullet called the Tango.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really nice as well. Absolutely awesome. The little bullets are just so convenient because they're powerful, but they still get the job done.
Mm.
Not as quickly as a magic wand, but somewhat.
Much less bulky.
And then I'd say, you know, to be honest, with vibrators, I kind of have my go-to, but I think getting in some internal G-spot love, like the best G-spot toys are probably, because G-spot, we should tell them where the G-spot is in case you don't know.
Yeah, we'll have a whole other episode on G-spot and squirting, but up and in, curved up and in towards the body, up towards the pubic bone. So it's not like up and in around a corner and through a maze. It is literally like a half a finger's length in. You curve it up towards the belly button. It's not like a spot that you'll necessarily notice, but it has kind of a spongy tissue that feels different from the rest-ish, kind of like the roof of your mouth, but more spongy. And when you press into it, it feels like you're pressing into your bladder.
Right, exactly. And it almost has that intense feeling when you get G-spot stimulation of like you have to pee. Like you get like, oh, but it has this.
Maybe you're going to ejaculate. I don't know. Go with it. Go with it.
Right. Yeah. And certain, like the guy that I'm hooking up with on a reg now, tier one, is constantly hitting that G-spot. And I'm like, yeah, you get in my G-spot.
You're juicing all over the
place. I'm just juicing it. So you can also access the G-spot if you use like a butt plug and then you have vaginal stimulation. A lot of times because it's a certain size butt plug, like 2.5 or 3 inches about in. If you insert that, it puts pressure from the anterior side.
Yeah. Makes like kind of tightens the vaginal canal.
Yeah. So that's also a good way to get in there. What's another one of my favorite toys? So that's three. How many do you want me to do? Five?
I said three, but you already did five.
Oh.
We did at least four.
Oh, shoot. I have so many.
So she loves sex toys. I'll take it over from that note, because when I use sex toys, I'm actually like most of the times I'm using sex toys, it's for anal play. Otherwise, I don't use a lot of sex toys.
Right.
Fun fact about me, I went on a vibrator strike in 2012.
I remember that.
Yeah, because I had my first orgasms from a vibrator, and that was great. I was having orgasms
ever.
Yeah, when I was 18. First orgasm from a vibrator. Water dancer, Vibratex.
From a vibrator, but not in general, just from a vibrator.
From a vibrator, it gave me my very first orgasm. And continued to only have orgasms from vibrators. And then when I was 25, I started to learn how to have...
Wait, backtrack for 1 second.
Yes.
Because Am I getting these two facts right? Because I did not know this. So your first orgasm in life was at 18.
With a vibrator.
That's amazing.
I wasn't a masturbating child.
I was a masturbating child.
I'm the one that opened up a sex shop.
I know.
I'm your best customer. Your babe was baiting everywhere. I'm like, I'm not going to. And it's, I explored my body a little bit at a young age, but it wasn't for pleasure. It was more for curiosity. And it wasn't because there was shame. There just wasn't this like big drive. I didn't discover my clitoris. I think that's what it is. I don't think I ever discovered my clitoris until that time, or I just didn't spend a lot of time using my hands to touch myself. And then when I was 18, I got my first vibrator, and I had already been sexually active for a couple of years, had my first orgasm, ejaculated for my first orgasm a vibrator on my clit. Was freaked out, but embraced it. Like, I knew what it was, but then still was a little hesitant about it, like a little unaware. Knew what it was, but also shamed myself, questioning it. Like, this, I don't know. I keep making this little puddle every time that I have an orgasm. Right. And so my body, you know, my subconscious self turned it off, you know, stopped ejaculating for a number of years. And then I was 25 or 26. It got turned back on by someone who milked that G-spot.
Nice.
Real well. Nice. And that's nice. And that's how I started to learn from there. It was kind of this journey to have orgasms and ejaculation from internal stimulation and G-spot stimulation.
Female ejaculation is amazing too. And we'll do a podcast on
there'll
that.
There'll be a lot because we're juicy, juicy women.
And I know because that's like one of my favorite things. And just as a segue, my Hitachi, or just now it's called Magic Wand, is responsible for a lot of my ejaculations.
It's interesting that, so I think the majority of people that are ejaculating are having more from internal stimulation on the G-spot, which is wonderful. And when you get a more powerful sex toy that's like a wand that penetrates deep in the body. Penetrates the wrong word. The vibrations are so strong on the clit. It's like a deep thudding vibration, like the magic wand. Yeah. And
that versus that me.
Yeah, like a not a beat.
A deep penetrative vibration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got it.
It goes deep in there, and it's so powerful that it in my opinion, it's vibrating, massaging the G-spot to the point where you're having this ejaculatory orgasm.
That makes so much sense, because that's what happens to me. And sometimes I can feel it building, and then I'm like, when I use the wand, the magic wand, I'll feel it building. And then I'm like, okay, this is definitely going to be on, and I'll have to hold back. So I'm like, I don't feel like changing the sheets right now.
Like, change the sheets yesterday.
I'm like, just change them. Ah! Yeah. But it's so fun to incorporate that. What I've been doing too is using that magic wand while I'm being penetrated and then ejaculating on the dude.
That is just, those are some yummy, that's a lot of orgasms.
That's a lot of things happening. See how great it is just to talk, like, incorporate sex toys into things. You can ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
You can also, though, we do need to touch on how building the pelvic floor muscle strength use of Kegel balls, is really helpful to female ejaculate as well, because Kegel balls are another sex toy that are necessarily not for pleasure purposes.
Yeah, but I think of them as a toy. Like, you find them in a sex shop, and they're kind of like a health and wellness
right.
item.
But they're very essential to vaginal health.
I have met a customer who actually used it as a toy. Like, they would pop it in and out, so it would massage the labia in and out, kind of like anal beads, but for the vulva.
Okay.
Yeah, creative.
We should touch, though, on – so we talked about our favorites. You didn't finish with your favorites, though.
Well, the moral of the story is vibrator strike in 2012. It doesn't mean I was completely turned off from them, but then now they only come out for special occasions. Like, and it isn't like, oh, my God, it's your birthday. It's not like that. It's more of – there's a deep inspiration behind it. Either I'm having sex with someone and I'm just so driven to spice it up. There's that bonus part. Like, I'm already having a really good time. Like, I want to make it even hotter. Whip out this vibrator, and my partner looks at me like, yes, this is like, I get to watch you while I'm inside of you, watch you using this vibrator on your clit, and then orgasm all over me, and they can feel the vibrations too. Like, it feels good for them too.
It's true.
Yeah. So
cock rings are also a good way to incorporate
vibrating cock rings. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of those, but they are a good one because they're more buzzy. I like more of the thuddy things if I did use a vibrator. And then when I am using toys, the other thing I'm doing is using – if it would be – like, any time I do anal, toys are involved.
Okay.
Because I like – you know, plugs are so useful to relax the muscles, and I'm just really think anal play is super hot. And Lube. Let's talk about lube for a second here.
Lube,
give me
lube,
on the lube topic. All right.
I love lube. Lube, yes, for everybody.
This is one thing that drives me crazy is when I hear people, all genders, saying, oh, we don't need that. I don't need that. Why would I need that? And as if our bodies are supposed to produce enough lubrication just because we're aroused. And I know this is a myth. This is a misconception. There's this wonderful book called Come As You Are. And it talks about this thing called arousal non-concordance, meaning that our arousal level and the actions of our body, the behaviors, the symptoms do not actually match. So just because we're super aroused doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have a rock hard erection, because maybe you're drunk and, you know, things aren't always hand in hand. Or sometimes you get erections in the morning, but you're not super aroused because you just get fucking morning wood. That's what happens.
Right.
Or vice versa with lubrication. Just because we're super aroused doesn't mean that we have this dripping wet pussy. And there's a lot of things that come into play there. It isn't just like drugs and alcohol, but hormones, stress. There's so many things.
Drinking enough water in the day.
Yeah, not being hydrated. We have different glands that produce different fluids, and sometimes they get blocked.
Or you had a tampon shoved up there all day.
Yes, that affects it. That definitely soaks things up quite well. So there's a lot. I think it's a really harmful misconception to assume that lubrication means aroused, and that if someone isn't lubricated, there's something wrong with them, or they must not like you, or they must not be turned on.
Right.
And it is something that can be a symbol of arousal. I think what's more important is looking for like the juiciness, or not juiciness, but like the engorgedness of the vulva, of like seeing like it's more puffy and also
insensitive.
Ask your partner. Are you ready for penetration? Like, I'm starting to put a finger inside of you and like starting to put it in more. And, do you want more? Is this okay? Is this, or can I like ask, getting
the
permission?
Communication thing again.
Yeah.
See?
A lot of vulvas have never been asked to be penetrated. They just get penetrated.
It's true. Yeah. I'm always like, hey, bust that lube. Uber lube's my fob.
Uber lube is the best. Uber
lube is silicone. So there's, okay, let's talk about kinds of lubes too.
Uh-huh.
I think it's important. So there's water-based lubes.
Yes, which is water soluble and your skin absorbs it, and you can use it with any toy, and you use them with all condoms.
So that's usually, it's easier for the body. The body absorbs it.
Yeah.
So if you are prone to getting yeast infections or...
Well, so on that note, I will say, so the thing with yeast infections is what's happening is you're introducing natural matter into the vagina, and it gets some sort of, you know, their bacterial growth based on that. And so the thing with Uber Lube is it does not have any natural matter in it. It's a silicone lube. It's just silicone, little vitamin E. And it does not throw the pH balance off. So therefore, it does not cause yeast infections. If you're trying to get pregnant, it's not an issue. Now, all water-based lubes, they have natural matter in them. There's no way around it. So if you're someone that gets yeast infections easily, or you're trying to get pregnant, or you're one of those people that just gets, like, there's so many people that are so sensitive to the lube. And like, I get rashes from lube. I need something that's hypoallergenic. Water-based actually isn't your best choice.
I never use water-based lube.
I don't either.
And please, people, take this advice to heart. Don't buy KY or any of those lubes that are like Astroglide. Those are
so many better lubes.
I mean,
those are like the Victorian era lubes.
Right. And that, like, I understand that those were probably the only accessible lubes to people back then, but like, those are like dinosaur lubes. You don't want to use those. There's so many better lubes out there that are like going to be good for your body. People are, you know, concerned with organic food, and they're, you know, concerned with exercising, but like, you have to also put good things. That is a very, very osmotic membrane, your vagina, your ass. You're going to soak in all the toxins.
It absorbs everything. Your mouth and your cock, your ass, your pussy, they're mucous membranes. They absorb anything you put on it, more so than you put something on your hand. Like, it's this number one place where you want to use natural things, or not even natural, but things that don't harm it.
Right. So, and that now, Uber Lube is silicone. So we talked about water-based lubes. For water-based lubes, I think probably the best option out there would be like, maybe like the Slickwood makes that organic line that's really good.
I like the Slickwood.
It's made in the
Oceanics.
USA. The Oceanics.
Yeah, theirs is nice. I think it has like a seaweed extract on it, and it just feels good. It lasts a decent amount of time for a water-based.
And with water-based lubes, if you just add a little bit of saliva when it starts to get, you know, when it starts to soak in or dry up, just add a little saliva to it, and it'll start to get its slickness back. But Slickwood, check that lube company out. That they make some decent water-based lubes. And then for silicone-based lubes, UberLube is definitely where it's at. As Amy was saying, it has the vitamin E. That's like, that's what I use.
It actually moisturizes the skin.
The thing that you have to be careful with using, like if you buy silicone toys.
Yeah, silicone.
You can't really use silicone lube because unless it's like a really, you know, I don't want to say expensive, but if you know it's medical grade silicone, just wash your toys if you're going to use silicone lube on it. But
only don't let it sit on there.
Yeah, and marinate.
I mean, for the most part, it's probably better just not put silicone on your silicone toy because you don't really, not everyone knows the quality of their toy.
True.
And if you're going to do it, wash it off right away.
Wash it off right away. So another good, I think, silicone lube would be, what's another good one? Pure.
Pure is good.
It's like P-J-U-R. It's from Germany, y'all.
Yeah.
And
but I like UberLube better.
But UberLube is where it's at. It comes in this cute little bottle. I have it on my nightstand because it looks just like a cosmetic. And I busted it out the other night during playtime. Oh. And the guy was like, that's such a cute bottle. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, because he's very, very fashionable.
Well, he's fashionable. He's also from Chicago. And I was like, you know, it's from Chicago. He's God, I love it.
Shut up. I like it even more. He's like dowsing and stuff. Oh, like, yeah. Putting all over.
Totally. No, I call myself the Tin Man in the bedroom because I'm like, I need some more lube. Lube me up. Lube me up.
I am such a tin woman as well. Yeah. It's like lube. I mean, I carry UberLube in my purse. I have it on my nightstand. They have a really great travel kit, like a little good to go.
And we're not sponsored by them, P.S. We just are like huge advocates for that company. Like, we're only going to tell you, y'all, the best of the best.
Also, it's about oil-based lube. So that's just,
okay, oh my gosh, we're totally on the same page.
Sister.
So I will say this. I want to tell a quick story because, okay, so I'm all about like natural things. Like I use a lot of like organic hair products and makeup and whatnot. I try at my hardest. But so coconut oil, I was all like, yeah, coconut oil. So I was using it with, with my monogamous partner when I was in a monogamous relationship back, you know, over a year and a half ago. And it was great because there weren't any condoms involved. Well, I didn't realize one night I was hooking up with this guy and we were using condoms and he was putting coconut oil all over the condoms, which breaks down the condom. I freaked out. I was like, oh my gosh, we've been using coconut oil the whole time because oil, like oil-based lubes break down latex. And Amy, I'm sure, can talk about that with her from her educated standpoint. But I like literally freaked out because it like is breaking down this latex. So making it less safe for me to have sex with this person who I wasn't monogamous with. So I was freaking out. So do not use oil-based lubes with condoms, people. Please take my advice. Take my experience.
No coconut oil, no olive oil, no lotions.
No lotions.
Then just not like, oh, we ran out of lube and let's put a lotion on the condom.
No.
Terrible idea.
No.
That'll probably give you yeast infection too. Coconut oil is great to a certain degree where it's like antifungal. I've even seen research studies where it actually can help to get rid of yeast infections.
Right, I've heard that too.
Like more so than Monistat. And for people who get yeast infections really easily, they just want to save from oils in general. Coconut oil might be a good friend for them.
If you get bacteria vaginitis, you can stick a tampon with soaked in coconut oil in your vagina for 2 hours and it'll go away.
Yeah, that's
– I've done that.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I've had BV once or twice.
Me too.
It happens.
When did I started around like age 25 or 26. Is that the same
thing? It's just from pH being thrown off by different deoxys.
That's another episode. But I think that would be an important episode, actually. Like, I know so many women that when they had BV, that it was this like ongoing 2-year crisis that they didn't know how to deal with
right.
and how to work. But we'll
we
do that another
time. Hacks and tricks for getting
to have a healthy vagina,
keeping the pH balanced.
Yeah. Well, then so with oils, hey, don't if you're using condoms, just don't use oils in general. I think coconut oil is a little more friendly with
I
latex,
love
but just
the oil-based lube that I used to get all the time from this shop is from the UK actually as
yes.
well. And it's just called Yes. They make – so if you are not prone to needing to use condoms or prone to getting yeast infections – because the oil sits on top of your skin, which makes it less breathable. Mm. So that's why some people can be sensitive. But I use Yes, and it's made from like almond oil and like all of these different extracts. And it's all mostly organic.
Shea butter.
It smells really nice. So if like –
they even have a vanilla one with like real Madagascar
yes.
vanilla.
But Moroccan or Madagascar.
Madagascar, yeah. Like
so you put that on
vanilla.
A duck and you suck it and it tastes real good.
Like
I used to do that.
Vanilla lollipop.
Yeah, like a vanilla lollipop. You're like, this is pleasant.
This is delicious.
So I'm a huge oil-based lube fan and UberLube is silicone. But if I need silicone lube for condoms, I'll use UberLube. I don't really use water-based lube. lube ever. And then I use Yes if I want, like, just slick, like, slick Rick status without a condom.
And I want to say on a note, as being a single person, you know, you all said that, or we discussed that if I'm dating someone and they're like, childhood wounding, and I like to go to medicine journeys, and I have a therapist, and I'm really turned on. If a man has lube and really good lube, I'm even more turned on. Like, that, it to me is like, fuck yes.
You give him a quiz. You're like, how's your childhood wounding? And what kind of lube do you use?
You don't own lube, you're out.
If you have Astroglide in that drawer, I am leaving.
I think
we are done.
Because it shows that they're aware, that they're coming, they're prepared. Like, by the way, if we're doing anal, you better have lube. Otherwise, there's no anal. I don't want your, like, finger near my ass.
I expect a guy to, since I'm dating, to come prepared with condoms. Now, if he doesn't come prepared with condoms, I'm like, I come prepared with all my artillery, which is like, hey, this is my lube of choice, and hey, here's my little sex toy that I want to use. So, yeah, I think that that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's just getting rid of the shame around using these things, using sex toys, using lube. It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It doesn't mean that you're not good enough, that your cock or your pussy or whatever you're playing with doesn't have all the tools and all the skills.
It's just going to make it better.
Your genitals are wonderful, and these are all bonuses that make the experience even better.
And more pleasurable. Yeah. Because even though you could also, just on, like, another lube note, lastly, you could be all charged up in the beginning and actually be producing a lot of fluid.
But then
it changes during the course. That happens to me frequently where I'm like, oh, I'm wet and ready. And then, you know, we start without lube. And then midway, I'm like, hey, this is stopping. My vag is, I'm like, is this thing on? It's not producing.
Yeah, hello.
So I'll go and get the lube, and it's actually a nice, we take a break, we, you know, grab a sip of water and put on some lube, and then boom, ready for round two.
Water breaks are great. Yeah.
Yeah, water breaks are great.
Water breaks, lube breaks.
I do want to get into, so that's about lube. So feel good about lube. But with sex toys, I think we want to cover something called different categories of sex toys. Because I think, like, you walk into a sex toy store, like, a lot of people get overwhelmed. Like, where do they go? What do they shop for? What do they do?
Well, and some of them are just, like, clutter central. It depends on what you're looking at. Like,
right.
Or what you're looking for and what store you're in. If you're in, like, your Porn Shop or your Walmart of sex toys, then it can be a little confusing.
I would say, so when people talk about a rabbit vibrator, like, if you ever watch Sex in the City back in the day, they had this whole episode surrounding the rabbit. Like, she got addicted. But rabbit style vibrators.
She did not get addicted.
That's what she just got addicted to the sensation of using a vibrator because she hadn't used one before, which was great. Like, I'm addicted. I love it.
She's not addicted.
I love it.
It's not a real addiction.
No, it's not
a real
addiction.
It can be, but yours is not.
No, you're right. But so when you're looking for a rabbit style, so rabbit style vibrators are anything with, like, dual action, like two motors, like an internal and an external, like the Miss B I talked about. And then you have, like, an external vibe, which is like your Hitachi magic wand, any wand or, like, the bigger ones. Then you have something like couples vibes, which couples vibes is like the Wii vibe. People may or may not have heard of the Wii vibe. It's like you wear part of it inside the vagina. And then if your hetero partner is penetrating you, or you know, you basically, his penis be going inside and both of you are feeling the vibration.
Which could also be used by non-hetero people who you could wear and you can have fingers inside of
right.
you, or maybe you prefer a dildo, but then the dildo is not going to feel very much either. But yeah.
True.
Yeah.
And then dildos. So people always think about, like, oh,
so they call you are, they're confused the names.
Right.
Yeah.
Dildos are usually, they're usually like non-vibrating items.
Well, they're
that
for
have a
penetration.
Base and they're for penetration.
So there's a difference. Like, a vibrator can be external and internal. Or internal or combo, dildos are always penetration. Dildos you could definitely use externally, but they're always designed for penetration.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes they vibrate, sometimes they don't.
Right. So that's the difference. So if you're shopping, you're like, I want a dildo. Think about that as like a penetrative device versus I want a vibrator, which is like, it's going to.
A lot of options for what
that
means.
A lot of options, right. Mm-hmm. Then you have like your anal section, right? So anal section are like
beads,
your
plugs,
beads and plugs. And we're going to do a whole anal podcast just
awesome.
To let you
anal.
Know. But the anal section is just like preparatory anal devices, gives you pressure, feels good. Then there's like toys for the boys, right? There's like penis toys. So like my hot octopus toys are in usually the penis
other masturbation sleeves.
And there's masturbation sleeves, which are like
cock rings.
Quote unquote pocket pussies. Those are like masturbation sleeves.
But there's ones that can be anything. There's like pocket asses.
Pocket asses, there's pocket
mouths.
Avatar vaginas.
Oh my god, yeah, pocket aliens.
There's pocket aliens, there's all sorts of things.
Aliens.
And then there's also like, you know, your fetish section, which those are also fun sex toys. And we're gonna do a whole section podcast on fetish play and fun and whip me, spank me, something.
Yes.
Bite me.
You'll have a whole little deal. still on kink and fetish and all that
and
fun
stuff. All the things.
All the things, yes.
And I guess the other, what am I missing? Sectional.
There you have your health and wellness, Kegel exercises, then right. You have libs and condoms and books and DVDs and massage oils and all that jazz. Things. All the things. And so you go in there and you're looking for something. And you're in a store that is what we'd call sex positive, meaning that they don't shame sexuality and they promote healthy and sexuality, that all sex is good sex. You know, ask your local sex shop employee
right.
for what you're looking for. But and it's ballsy. It's scary.
It is scary. But I would say, like, as a takeaway, you get what you pay for with sex toys. And nowadays, sex toys have come so far. They're rechargeable. You don't need batteries anymore.
Well,
they're also...
They're available.
They're available. Yeah,
there are battery-operated ones still.
Of course.
Yeah. For every budget, there's something. And yes, you do get what you pay for.
But you get what you pay for. Some of them are warranted for 2 years. There's lifetime warranties. They're all waterproof now. You can take them in the bathtub and the jacuzzi. They're
deep sea diving.
I would just suggest spending a bit more for your budget and just getting something with a warranty that's better for your body, better made with better materials. And, you know, medical grade silicone is a great way to start because it's not going to, you know, get bacteria on it. That way, if you're transitioning through many different partners, you can use it and not be afraid or like make it disposable.
Okay, let's go on to that topic. So this is a thing. Like, aside from warranties and all that jazz, let's go on the topic of you. So I've heard this before. Someone has a sex toy that they use with their partner. They break up. They still have the sex toy.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Sanitizable. They get a new partner and they will like whip it out again. And I've heard many stories of people being really offended by that. Like, well, where's that toy from? Is it brand new? No. Did you use it with someone else? Yes. And they freak the fuck out. They're like, oh my God, I can't believe you want to use a sex toy on me again. And not even just something for penetrative sex, like an external vibrator. Not everyone's going to be comfortable with that. So what's your take on that? How do you feel about that? Like if someone did that with you, you went to their house, they had a Laia spot and it was out of the package. Laia spot is an external vibe, the first one that April ever used and had her very first vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
Out of the package. And they were like, hey, girl, let me use this on you. How would you feel?
Okay, so first, like, as a side disclaimer, I'm kind of a germaphobe.
Yes, you are.
So for me, I would be like, oh, I'd rather just bring my own sex toy.
Yeah, or buy a new one.
I would probably prefer, personally, not to use theirs. And it has nothing to do with, like...
And you can sanitize, even though you
can
sanitize.
Right, yeah. And it's an external vibe. Mm. But for me, personally, I would say, hey, like, let's take a step back. Maybe next time I'll bring a vibrator over.
We can go shopping together.
But I personally, like, I would, like, the cock rings I use with my ex-husband, I have not brought out. Like, I'd be like, you want to use this cock? No, I threw them all in the garbage because I'm like, I'd rather just get new ones. But when they're my toys, like all the toys that I have in my drawer, I've used with multiple dudes.
But you're using them mostly on yourself.
But I'm using them on myself. Exactly. So I think that's okay. But if I go over to a guy's house and he busts out a sex toy that is out of the package.
But designed for a female body.
I would say, thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah. We're like, did you just buy that? No. Okay.
I'd be excited. Okay. I'd praise him for.
Yeah. Thank you for wanting to use a sex toy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you for wanting to use a sex toy. I'm totally into this, but for me, I'd rather just like get a new one or bring one of my own over.
Yeah. Even if it's fully sanitizable. Yeah. Well, okay. Let's get down with the hippie level too of like, this was used in an energetic space where someone may have had some mind blowing orgasm. And I don't know if the silicone absorbed the orgasm or whatever, but like there's meaning behind it. You know, there's memories, there's some other things. And I don't think it's something to freak the fuck out about and be like, you bitch, I can't believe it. You brought this out. And if anything, it's something to praise someone like, thank you for wanting to pleasure me with a sex toy. That's awesome. And I would rather use my own or your new one. Thank you.
I would just be very upfront about it unless you're comfortable with it. Some people might not mind, which is great. It's all each to their own. But I know that I would communicate at a level of, hey, I'm really like impressed with you and like you took some initiative and like that's amazing. Like you just scored 2 points. Maybe you're hitting tier one level soon.
Ooh, tier one. Just bump up from tier two.
Yeah. You were tier two, but now you're tier one. And I just want to say like next time I'll know. And this is securing your next time spot, by the way, by you busting out a sex toy. But yeah, I think that I'd just say like, you know, let's move forward the old fashioned way, but not missionary, please.
So let's switch it up. I want to get on top. So do we have anything else you want to say about sex?
I think we gave a pretty good rendition of like what to look for, yeah. like lube, the importance of lube,
and just the taking away the shame of using sex toys. Of course, as we say all these things on this podcast, to each their own, right? You're different strokes for different folks. Haha, literally. You get to choose what works for you. You are your own authority. You get to make your rules. So just because we praise something doesn't mean you have to love it. Like, we have a lot of experience, but it doesn't have to be for you. So you get to decide what works best for you. And if you have a whole different agenda or story, then we support that. All consensual sex
Absolutely.
Is good sex.
Absolutely.
And we encourage people to kind of question their thinking when it comes to shame. You know, like, why am I uncomfortable with the concept behind using a sex toy? Is it because it brings up my own securities of I'm not enough? And how can I look deeper into that to expand my horizons and have more pleasure and more bonuses and more expansive experiences with my partners and
Absolutely.
Myself?
It's all about just freeing yourself of any shame. Feel good. If it makes you feel good about having that experience. Mm-hmm. And if you know your sex, you want to kind of take it to another level, try some sex toys, try some lube, but feel good. And it's all about the shameless sex.
Mm-hmm.
Be empowered. Be you. Be beautiful.
Yes. Well, everyone,
thank you so much for listening.
For joining us.
Wait to give you more shameless sex talk from April
and Amy.
Ciao for now.
Don't forget to head on over to our website at shamelesssex.com for more. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSPP in all caps at purepleasureshop.com.